Welcome back to another episode of Care Partner Conversations, where we talk about what's important to us as family caregivers and care partners. Well, today's guest is a world-renowned dementia speaker, author, and many other things. She's currently the West Virginia AARP State Volunteer President and a special reoccurring guest on this show. So I am proud and thrilled to welcome back Miss Jane Marks. Hey, Jane, how are you?
I'm thrilled to know I'm world renowned. I hope it's in a good way, but I'm glad to be here with you on this cold, ugly day. But hopefully we can bring some insight into people's lives and maybe a little bit of sunshine as well.
Absolutely. Well, Jane, as we all know, and care partners out there watching, we all can relate to this. It's been a heck of a year. Many unplanned, is a good word, unpredictable things have happened.
Unprecedented, you know, I read somewhere on social media, somebody said, I never want to hear the word unprecedented again, and I kind of agree.
Right. So we could all probably agree on it's been a trying and testing year. In different ways for all of us, you know, but we have passed two major holidays recently. And with the pandemic and social distancing and all these different arrangements in place, it still doesn't take away the fact that, how do I say this? People may have noticed some different new things in someone they care about, whether that was during a phone call or a virtual visit or an in-person visit.
Right. And we know some people took the proper precautions and were able to get together over the holidays, whether it be Thanksgiving or Christmas, or some people may have heard from others who got together and who visited mom or grandfather or whomever. And so someone might have noticed something in those visits that seemed a little off or a little different, or it could have been here. Excuse me, it could have been on the screen when people were visiting this way, or it could have been on the phone. But certainly Absolutely. The holidays are often a time when family members might notice some changes that they're a little concerned about.
Sure. And of course, we know that those quote changes can be different for different situations. But I thought you and I could just allude to and run through just a couple of what those changes could be.
Sure. You know, one of the changes one might notice is that mom or dad is not as well kept as usual, that they look a little messy. Maybe their clothes are more rumpled than usual or not matching or stained. And that is unusual for your loved one. Maybe you will have noticed that the hair is a little messy. Now, we can't count haircuts, because we know many people weren't getting their haircuts. Yeah, except for you. You're okay. But we noticed that we can't count that. But some uncleanliness, maybe if you were there in person or even on the Zoom screen, you noticed that the house looked extra messy, not the neat and clean place that you expected. You might have noticed stacks of mail. If you were there in person, you might have noticed stacks of mail that were not opened. You might have noticed weight loss. You know, that person looked thin. And if you were there, you might have noticed, I'll never forget a person who called me when I still worked with the Alzheimer's Association, and she was concerned about her parents, and she had said that on the phone, everything sounded fine. But she had just been to their house to visit, and when she opened the refrigerator, there was no food in the refrigerator, and she realized, wait, something's going on. I mean, if you were on the phone, maybe you noticed some hesitancy. Certainly, you might have noticed some repetitive stories. You might have noticed some suspicious answers. You know, if the answers weren't quite what you suspected they should be, you might have noticed that. You might have noticed some dings on the car if you were at home. You might notice stories from your loved one, and again, this could be on the phone, about suspicious activities. Somebody's been getting in the garage and stealing things.
Yes.
You know, those kinds of things. So it might have been any one of those things. It could be a suspicious bruise. I still remember the day that I went to visit my mother. She only lived an hour from me, and I thought everything was fine. We talked on the phone almost every day. But when I got to the house, she had a very interesting scrape and bruise right here on her forehead. And of course, I inquired, and she kind of blew me off. So I kept inquiring.
Yeah.
And I got a couple different stories and finally got the real story that she had fallen in the bathtub, trying to get out of the bathtub. So again, you might take note of those kinds of things that look a little off to you or a little suspicious.
Sure. Well, thank you for alluding to those different examples and different types of things. Now, my mind's going here, but I don't want to speak for our caregivers out there, but a common thing that after we notice whatever we notice, human nature, our minds could start to go down that path. I'm going to start, let's just call it the emotions that start to swirl.
Sure. Well, I think the first emotion you're going to jump to is major concern. And absolutely, what we have to remember is it doesn't always mean the worst case scenario when you notice these changes. It could be something innocent. It could be something small. It could be something treatable or something that you can do something about. We all know, and because we worked in that world, you know, our mind jumps to Alzheimer's or dementia.
Especially,
we also know that there are so many other conditions that can cause those kinds of symptoms, those kinds of things that cause the person to seem a little off that have nothing to do with Alzheimer's or dementia. It could be that dad's not taking his medications correctly, or that he's on two different medications that aren't getting along, if you will. We have to remember it could be simply the pandemic. It could be the worry and the concern and the social isolation. I know I have gotten pretty depressed over these long months of not being able to be with friends and get out and about. Certainly older folks often go to church, and that's their social network. And if they've not been doing that, you know, for safety reasons, they can be very lonely, and certainly they can get depressed, and they can decide, I don't need to take a shower. You know, I don't feel like going to the store, or they're afraid to go to the store.
Right.
And the method that they have been using to get their food isn't working. So certainly we have to not jump to too many conclusions. We need to go into investigative mode. But certainly some of the emotions that will probably bubble up as we go into investigative mode are concern, a little bit of fear. What does this mean? How bad is the situation? How's this going to impact me? How's this going to impact that person? Certainly we can feel some dread. Oh no, now what? Oh no, what, you know, again, what are my next steps? You can feel confusion. You can feel frustration. Oh, for gosh sakes, I thought that the pandemic was bad enough and now I'm going to have to deal with this.
Right.
You can experience a little anger at the person, at the situation, at the pandemic. Certainly all those emotions can come bubbling up and are totally normal. I think we've all of us who have experienced this have felt those emotions and continue to feel them throughout our caregiving journey. So all those emotions are quite common. The one that concerns me the most is denial.
Let's unpack that for a second. Can you expand on that?
Well, there can be denial on many levels, but let's first speak about it from the caregiver's viewpoint. It's a tough thing. As I said, your first emotion might be fear. Oh my gosh, is this something really bad? Is this something that's going to seriously impact my loved one? Is this something that's going to seriously impact my life? How am I going to manage this? Maybe the situation is you live 500 miles away, not an hour away like I did.
Right.
How am I going to manage this? And you get very fearful. But then many times caregivers immediately shift to denial. Now, I realize we're walking a tightrope here. I don't want you to jump to the worst conclusion, but I don't want you to just brush it off and say, I got to accept the fact that dad's getting old, or I've got to accept the fact that that mom has been lonely. So it's probably just that she's lonely and depressed. Because if we deny, here's what sometimes happens, and here's why we deny it. First of all, we don't want to deal with sad, and we don't want to deal with that fear.
Right.
We also might be dealing with the possibility of a role change. Maybe your mom or dad or your brother or whomever it is that you're now concerned about has been your go-to person. They've been your pillar of strength. They've been the person that you've gone to when you needed help and when you needed advice and when you needed support and you needed a shoulder to cry on. And now that role might have to change, and that could be very scary. Maybe you're the wife who's never handled the finances, and you don't know about all that stuff. You've never filled out a tax return or you know, handled all the finances, and that's scary, so you deny that there's a problem. You know, there could be many reasons for it, but I caution caregivers not to immediately blow it off and go into denial, because by denying it, you keep the door open for a situation to progress, to get worse,
sure,
before you take action. And that can lead to some more heartache. It's a tough thing. It's a tough thing when the child has to become the parent. It's a tough change sometimes for both parties, because, you know, my mother, well into her illness and far beyond her ability to really take care of herself, would look at me and say, listen, I raised you.
Right.
You know, well, so it's going to be difficult.
Sure.
There's a reason that you want to put this off as long as possible. But I think sometimes, I hate to say this, JT, but sometimes you just got to put on your big girl pants and take charge.
There's a lot of truth in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Understanding that emotionally it's going to be challenging. It's going to be difficult. We all know that if caregiving were easy, you and I would not have a need to be doing this. You and I would not be having these discussions. There would not be caregiver support groups all across the country.
Right.
It's not easy. I will never say that it's easy. It's a challenge. Well,
Jane, I think you've, to summarize, I think you've given us some really good points. The emotions, now correct me if I misinterpret anything, the emotions we can feel wide range from this side to that side.
And I don't want you to deny those emotions. I want you to deal with them, but denial is one that you need to deal with sooner rather than later.
Sure. And it sounds like these emotions are normal to feel.
Oh, absolutely.
These emotions are common, normal to feel when you're going through this. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Of the key, of course, is taking the thing on. Denial, again, if we love this person and care, denial won't do either one of us. Come in when we notice the changes, as you said, but you also said, and I want to stress this point, is the fact that the cause and what's really driving what we're seeing, we don't know yet.
Correct.
And it could be many different factors, diseases, reasons why.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I know that we're going to talk about those next steps. Once you've
seen
that change, once you've seen that suspicious thing, what we're going to do. But I know you want to talk about these emotions first.
And while we're on this part, and you just talked about denial, Jane, is it okay if I spring a question upon you that deals with the denial? Because I think, again, when we're talking about denial, it's both sides.
Sure.
We've talked so far about caregiver. Can I pose this question to you that I recently received from a caregiver? This son had to recently take the keys away from dad. It was unsafe. And he knew it was time. However, his dad seems to feel differently about the situation. And so naturally, as sons, as daughters, as loved ones, it would be great if we could sit down and I could get you to understand why this isn't safe and what's going on and why we can't drive. That would make my job a lot easier. And it's what we all want. But in his words, his dad doesn't see it that way. And the exact question was, is my dad just in denial? Or is it something about this disease that doesn't allow him to see what's going on? Now, I know you and I have talked about this and shared this with many caregivers.
Sure. And of course, the answer, the true answer is either or. It might be both. We all know, and you know, you and I could spend about 6 hours on a show just about driving, giving up the keys. That's a whole thing in itself.
Absolutely.
But certainly we know that none of us want to admit that we are losing any control, any ability. You know, now at this age when my body doesn't quite want to do what it used to do, when I'm trying to put my foot in that stirrup to get up on the in the saddle, I can't quite do it the way I used to. You know, we don't want to think about that. Sure. And certainly we don't want to think about the fact that we might have an illness or a condition that is going to take away any ability at all. Certainly we all deny that. That's why we all delay going to the doctor when we think we're sick. We kind of don't want to know. And as folks grow older, particularly, they don't want to give up control. They don't want anyone to think less of them. And they're going to fight for their independence. So it could be that kind of denial. But also, interestingly, there is a condition, a medical condition. It's called anosognosia. Isn't that a lovely word? Anosognosia. And all it means is, in Greek, it means unaware of.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And there are brain illnesses or conditions that lend themselves to this. And it simply means that the person is unable within their thinking process to recognize that they have a problem. Now, I did a little research on this. It's more common in people who are bipolar, who are schizophrenic, people who've had traumatic brain injuries. Any illness, any brain problem that will affect the frontal lobe, because it's the frontal lobe that we're really aware of those kinds of things. Uh-huh. And certainly it can happen with Alzheimer's. It can also change. One moment they are very aware that they have a problem, but the next moment or the next day, they are not aware. So if you've had the conversation with your loved one about whatever their illness is or their situation or their deficit is, they may get it today. It connects today. Tomorrow or a few hours later, it's gone again. So it could be either or. And so, again, we could spend a whole show on this, but some strategies. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's presume first that this person has this anosognosia. So it's a medical condition. Then you're going to need, as the caregiver, to write down and document any kind of diagnosis that you do have or that you get. If the physician can write it out on one of his notepads, if he can write it out on a prescription pad, you know, I think Sarah has Parkinson's disease. Or I think John has frontal temporal dementia. Whatever it might be, write that down, make copies of it. But, you know, that's a document that you can show that person. You don't want to try to convince them, Dad, how many times do I have to tell you? You simply are going to have to patiently point it out.
More like a reference.
Yes.
I told you.
Well, it's natural to say, don't you remember? We need to try to not say that phrase and say, Dad, on December 21st, when we went to see Dr. Jones, he said this. And part of this means that sometimes things aren't connecting up here right, and that's why you can't remember it right now. But this is what he said, and this is what he said to do. And that's another point. If the doctor said to whatever to do or not do, you know, write it down. I know you and I've discussed with the driving. If you can get the doctor, which is hard to do, if you can get the doctor to write on a prescription pad, John should not be driving. That can be helpful in that driving situation. But, you know, that's one way that you can handle that situation. JT, you just froze up on my screen. I don't know if I'm frozen on yours, but this is the problem with technology during the pandemic. It doesn't always work. There you are. You're back.
Sorry. No, you were just... If in case we lost anyone, you were just in the middle of saying, you know, still on the driving.
Yeah, if you can get the doctor to write on a prescription pad, George should not be driving. George should no longer drive. I think George has X illness or condition, and then can write down the things that George should or should not do. That can be helpful. Now, no, you can't always get a doctor to do that. But my point is that arguing with that person over and over is going to frustrate them and frustrate you. It's a tough situation. But again, first and foremost, the safety of that person is key. So, you know, that's where we have to go with that. But yes, denial can be on many different levels. And it's a battle that many caregivers just have to face.
Right. Well, and Jane, you mentioned the roles, and I'll just share my personal opinion. I like the fact that you've been saying the roles can change and the changes in the role. Sometimes when we say the role reversal, it's not a full maybe reversal. You gave a good example of in moments she was your mom. And she'd remind you. So I hand on that word changes, because the absolute truth that I can guarantee as a coach is roles can start to change. Duties, per se, as you mentioned, can start to change. And I think so often folks have a really, really hard time thinking about the roles, as you mentioned. And another point that I was recently talking about with someone, I've seen this time and time again, and sometimes I'm treading very lightly here because I don't want to offend any caregivers. Also being aware to notice, I'm sure you have examples of this where maybe that was a time she was trying to tell me. For example, I don't want to speak for you, but with your mother, maybe.
Right. One of the things caregivers have to do, when I said you have to go into investigative mode.
Yes.
Once you've noticed a problem.
Sure.
You know, I noticed some things, and I'm, you know, again, I hesitate to use personal examples, but sometimes they're good ones. I noticed some changes in my mother. She just wasn't quite as sharp as she always was. There was nothing real obvious. This was before I noticed the gash on her forehead. Uh-huh. This was before. I just noticed something was off. And I, at the time, worked for the Alzheimer's Association, and I certainly did not want to be guilty of giving my mom Alzheimer's just because I worked there, you know. So I was very careful with this. But yeah, I did notice some things that weren't quite right. And I needed to start listening in a different way.
Well, and one thing I want to say is, from this standpoint, it sounds that whether it was someone calling you and saying, hey, your mom, I've noticed you... Right. I don't want to put words in your mouth again, but it we were just talking about denial. Sounds like you listened.
My antenna were already out.
Yeah.
Okay. My antenna were out. And I think what you were alluding to is something that I say often is that person with an illness or that person with a dementia particularly will tell you what needs to happen next if you're listening in the right way. So I had noticed some things. I had my antenna out. Uh-huh. I got a call one day from the church secretary. We talked about the fact that sometimes church is the older person's social life. And that was the same way with my mom. And she went to church two or three times a week to work in the office and help with things. And the church secretary called me and said, I feel bad that I'm telling on your mother, but I think that you need to know this. She said, your mom came in yesterday with her checkbook and she was very upset because her checkbook was a mess and she couldn't figure it out. So first red flag, my mother was the consummate checkbook keeper. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She kept that checkbook not only neat with every detail written down in that little record, but every month she would balance her checkbook, and if it was a penny off, and it took her days, she would work to figure out how she was a penny off. And she was always very frustrated with me because I kind of just kind of scratched out and went with whatever the bank said I had. And I often made math mistakes and didn't go back to figure them out. But I knew right then, I said, okay, we now know that there is a problem. So in my example, what was that telling me? First of all, that was telling me that I was right. My suspicions were right. Something was up with my mother. Something was going on with her that was taking away her ability or interfering with her ability to do that. But secondly, what it said to me was I needed to start going up more often. And we had the conversation about how bill paying and handling her checkbook was going. And would it be okay with her if from now on I came there a couple times a month and we would do those things together? I listened and realized, okay, this is the next step. She's not going to be able to take care of her finances without some supervision. So that was the next step. But again, yeah, my antenna was already out. And so that was when I said, I think we need to talk to the doctor. And I think that that's probably, if we've noticed these things and I said, you need to start investigating, that's probably the first thing you need to do, is there needs to be a conversation with or a visit to the doctor. And either you need to go or you need to communicate with the doctor about this. I know this is challenging in the pandemic, but there's telemedicine. And I think sometimes doctors are a bit more understanding. And if you request to go into the appointment with your loved one and everybody's wearing masks and are careful and they understand it's because you have some concerns, I think that's important. The other reason it's important is we all know that these folks can sometimes pull it all together and put on their I'm okay face, and they'll go into the doctor's office and the doctor starts asking questions and they give all the right answers and they seem very bright and very engaged. The doctor has no idea just from those answers what might be going on. That's why it's important for you to be there and say, well, but I have noticed. Or if you got to be more subtle and the doctor says, you know, Mrs. Smith, have you been eating? And Mrs. Smith goes, oh, yes. And you as the caregiver are going, because this is starting to become a team project now.
Right. It's a team.
This is when we start to have to work as a team. It's also important. Everyone needs to be reminded, especially if your loved one is 65 or older, that now part of the annual Medicare wellness visit should include a cognitive assessment. So this is something that you should make sure has been happening if we're thinking cognitive issues. And if you're not happy with that diagnosis or there is no diagnosis, you can request a visit to a specialist, you know, to get some further information. But your first step, and like we said, it might be that somebody looks at the medication list and said, oh, well, you're not supposed to take this in the morning when you take that. You need to separate them, or, oh, these two don't work well together. We need to change this. I know of a patient who the doctor was very astute. There had been a lot of falls. And at the doctor's visit, the doctor asked her to take off her shoes and socks. And he investigated her feet, and it became apparent that she had bunions and corns that were kind of that were inflamed, but she also had not been trimming her toenails.
Sure.
And the condition that they were in was actually causing her to have balance issues. So again, it needs to be a thorough investigation to try to figure out, based on all the problems, all the red flags that have been going on. Sure. So that's your first investigative process. Sure. But then your second investigative process is you need to find out where all the important documents are and if they even exist. That can mean everything from finding your mom and dad's Medicare card. Do you happen to know if they have regular Medicare or if they have a Medicare Advantage plan and what that covers? Do they have a supplemental insurance along with their Medicare? And then as you move from that, are there insurance policies? Is there a living will? Is there a power of attorney? Is there a medical power of attorney? Is there another name on the checkbook? Now, in my mom's case, she had put mine and my sister's name on her checking account years before, just in case, you know, just in case. And so that already, that was already in process for us. And if some of those things don't exist or haven't happened, then now's the time to start the conversations about seeing that those things are taken care of.
Right. Well, if you followed the show this season, you know, I've had guests and we've talked about this, and I'm glad you brought this up, Jane, because I've also talked about this with our caregivers. It can be natural. And especially if we're coming in what you and I call maybe early stage caregiving, where
That's really what we're talking about. You know, it's this kind of situation that we're talking about where you've noticed some changes. This is what you and I call early stage caregiving. You're just starting to step your way into this.
Right.
And so there's no need to panic. Right. Take it one step at a time. But these are some of the first steps you can do. The other step that you can take is look to see what you can do now to maybe help the situation while things are like they are. So, for instance, if you've noticed no food in the refrigerator, you know, I noticed when mother was falling, you know, and once she was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and I read all the pamphlets that they gave us on Parkinson's, it said things like, get rid of the sliding shower doors that many people have in their home, because if you're about to fall and you grab on that shower door, it moves. It's not steady. And so that was actually how she had fallen.
Okay.
Get rid of throw rugs. And my mother loved the little throw rugs. She would even put one on top of carpet. So I went around and took those all up. Now I got to tell you, the next time I came back, they were all there again. So we had the conversation again about what the doctor had said, and here's the pamphlet that says, and this can cause you to fall. But one of those instances where we had a tough situation was when my sister and I had discussed it, and we decided the shower doors had to go. So we purchased a secure shower rod and a really pretty shower curtain to match her pretty bathroom. And we got grab bars. And my sister and I and my husband went to my mom's house. And we had warned her ahead of time. And she had said, no, I don't want you to do that. But we had discussed it in great detail. And again, first and foremost was her safety and well-being, not necessarily her happiness at that moment. So we went in with our tools. And my sister tried to distract her with how beautiful the shower curtain was. That didn't work. Mother was livid, and she stomped her foot and she said, you are ruining my bathroom. And we had all agreed ahead of time we were going to stay calm. My sister Sarah was going to be the diversion while my husband and I did the work, but we kept referring back to you, we want to keep you safe. And she was mad as a wet hen, but we got those shower doors out of there. We got grab bars in a couple of locations around the bathtub and got that stable shower rod instead of the sliding shower doors. But again, it wasn't easy.
Right.
It was a tough conversation. But over time, she adjusted to it. And then we had other challenges. But again, if we had denied, if we had backed down, and certainly I don't mean you want to be mean and hateful and blustery. But if you continue to refer to the illness, to the situation, the doctor said, and you stick to your guns, again, my mother was mad at me, but I knew she was less likely to fall. You know, later on down the road, as things changed, that's when we decided to hire a private caregiver to come in, to go with her to the grocery store to make sure that there was food in the refrigerator. We had somebody there from 9 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. She made sure that mother had breakfast, a good lunch, and then either that there was something easy, you know, a microwavable food that mother could pop in the microwave so that we had some food in the refrigerator.
Right.
It can be a step at a time. Step at a time.
Absolutely. Well, Jane, what you were just walking into, I just thought it sounded like you also formed a team. Is that a proper word? Yeah. You had a team in place.
Now,
let's talk about the team concept.
Well, and now at this early stage, and I guarantee you there are caregivers out there who are saying, I don't have anyone. And I know that there are some instances where that's the case. But first and foremost, it's your mindset. You need to decide that right now the new team is you and your loved one and the doctor. You know, maybe before it was just your loved one and their doctor. Now you're a new member of the team, but maybe you do have relatives that you can pull in as part of the team. My sister lived 4 hours away, so she wasn't a day-to-day team member, but she had her role and she knew to come on those tough times, like when we were going to ruin my mother's bathroom. I wanted her there. But then look at neighbors. You know, are there neighbors of your loved one that you can pull in as part of the team and say, we've noticed these changes. We've gone to the doctor and we found out that the problem is this or that. Can you help keep an eye out? Could you call me if you notice anything? If you notice that dad hasn't gone out to get the newspaper in this newspaper box for a couple of days, could you check on him or could you give me a call?
Right.
You know, so again, your team members are going to be different for every family, but yeah, this is the time where you start pulling together who could be your team. This is the time when you start gathering some information that you might not need yet. You know, if you don't need in-home care yet, that's wonderful, but start investigating.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Find out who the in-home care agencies are. Ask around, heck, call them up and ask how they operate or what they charge. Look at meal programs. We don't have this here in West Virginia, but there are some states, I have to say, where there are, it's kind of like Meals on Wheels, only you pay for it. There are meal providing companies that will deliver meals to older folks in other states. So check out and see if there's a meal delivery service. Now, I'm not talking about the HelloFresh and Blue Apron, although those might work for your situation. But no, these are akin to Meals on Wheels, but they're private. They're private pay. You're going to have to pay. But still, it's a way to see that food is getting into the house. Check on what apps are available. Again, you know, there's a way that you can go in. Let's just say dad is still out and about. You've noticed some changes, but he's still going out and about and he has a cell phone. There are settings that you can put on the cell phone that will tell you and only you where dad is. There are other GPS devices. You can put it on a key fob. There's some that go and choose so that you can kind of know and you'll get a text. You know, when dad has gotten to a certain mileage limit, you know, if you only want him to go in a 5 mile radius, you'll get a text or a notification.
Right.
There are home monitoring systems. Now, I've had people say, oh, this is like Big Brother watching you. And, you know, I have to say, everybody's entitled to an opinion. No, this isn't. This
Everyone's
is not,
different. Right.
This is not, to me, it's not Big Brother's watching you. It's making sure mom or dad or grandmother or Aunt Sarah is safe. And this is a home monitoring system that you can get so that it will track what's going on in the house. So, for instance, if your loved one hasn't left the bedroom for 2 days, you can tell that. You can monitor the refrigerator. If the refrigerator's not being opened, you can tell that on your computer, and that's an alert to you that something's going wrong. There are devices that can remind your loved one that it's time to take a medicine, if that's something that they can understand and utilize. So let technology be your friend. But again, it's a good idea to investigate all these things before you ever need them. Like I said, if you're just in the early stages, that's wonderful. And there are a few things you need to do now, but go ahead and get informed, become educated so that when the time comes, the next step is obvious. You already have some information that you can refer to.
Well, I think again, another great point and from the coaches, we know also from personal experience, I always talk about the what ifs. And back to fear, we can fear a lot of things we don't know if we'll need. What if we need nursing home care? What if we need therapy in home help? And brilliant, brilliant advice. Again, Jane Marks, what's wrong with investigating now? again, as your coach, I'll say you may never need it. But what if you do?
And here's the other thing. You may never need it, but because you investigated it, you can be a coach to a friend might need it sometime. And you can say, you know what? I checked that out, and the best medical alert system that I found was X. Or the home health care company that does this is this one. So it can help you help somebody else. And you know, the other thing, JT, I want to get back to the emotions before we wind up.
Yes, please.
That's the other reason why part of a caregiver's team can be somebody like you, a caregiver coach, who you can call up and you can say, I'm really scared, or I'm really frustrated. And you have a listening ear so that you can kind of share those emotions in a healthy way. Heck, if you need a counselor, if you need a therapist, that's great too. If you can talk to a pastor or just a good friend, or call JT at REMT, because that coaching is important. And sometimes it's here. Not a coach just about step one, step two, step three. It's a coach that can allow you to share those emotions safely.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And so true. Again, couldn't say it better. And Jane, I know we're zipping through this, and I'm trying to watch the clock, and I know we've probably had a decent amount of time here today. I just want to turn it over to you. Any final thoughts, any wrap up, any last words that you would like to share with all of our care partners and caregivers out there?
Well, just a couple things. I know that sometimes caregivers feel that they're the only ones, that they're alone. We always want to make that point. No, you're not. And there are folks like us that you can reach out to. There are great websites out there. As I said, if this was easy, there wouldn't be great websites out there with information. I have to say, it's a little self-serving. Not really, but the aarp.org/caregiving website has a wealth of information on it. The National Family Caregiving Alliance has good information. We know the Alzheimer's Association has some good information. The website called A Place for Mom has some good information for caregivers. Also, again, I know that maybe what we've talked about today is you're just starting this adventure, this journey. You've just noticed some changes, and it can get scary, but there's a book that's become quite popular. I purchased it last spring. It's by a British author named Charles Maxey, and it's The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. And it's a very simple book, but it's a profound book. And I quote it all the time. But one of the pages in the book says that the boy says, I'm so afraid. I can't see my next step. And the horse says, can you take a deep breath? And the boy says, yes. And the horse says, then that's your next step. So I want caregivers to know, stop a minute, take a deep breath. And you'll get through it. You can do this. You are stronger than you know, and you can do this.
Absolutely. Well, Jane, thank you so much. Once again, it's been an excellent time here with you, and thank you for all your words and wisdom, but also the experience. And sometimes those stories from us really help empower and educate other caregivers, and sometimes that's the story that made us strong.
I'm happy to share.
So thank you for sharing that.
I'm happy to share anytime. You know where to find me. I'm sorry about technology.
I'm sure you'll be back on here.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we all understand during this time. Thank you so much, Jane. Now, caregivers, before you go, just a reminder, REMT is here to provide education, enlightenment, and empowerment to all caregivers and care partners. We believe you are just as important as the person for whom you care. And our mission is to help caregivers learn, grow, and become aware of your inner strengths. Just remember, REMT is here when you need us, and you are not alone. Thank you all for joining us today. Thank you. Until next time. Bye-bye.